And he further said, you will be a father of a multitude of nations. Now, what he's saying to you is this. Now, you think about what Jesus did on the cross, right? All those of you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have made that commitment to the Lord to say, yes, I recognize what you did on the cross for me is to take my sins on you, on yourself, so that I can be faithful and obedient to you. And he says, my covenant is with you. What I did for you, I want you to recognize that so that you could be free to do what I want you to do. To shake off all the chains of sin, all the bonds of hell, all the things that you could get yourself into, that's broken in your life because of the covenant that God made. All you have to do is receive it and recognize it. Once you recognize it, see, you're posturing yourself for understanding and your eyes are open. And hopefully you're catching this today. This is a huge thing for you to recognize because it's a personal relationship. It's not religion. It has nothing to do with works, has nothing to do with anything. What this has to do with God speaking to you, and he's asking, what he's saying is, I've made this covenant with you. I, as God, God speaking, saying, I, Almighty God, has made a personal covenant with you. With you. Nobody else in this picture matters right now, except for you recognizing this truth for you. Because if you do not recognize this, you will walk in a wavery position before the Lord. You will not understand how important you are and how you matter, right? You're going to be walking in your own strength. You're going to be walking in your own understanding, and you're not going to see it until you humble yourself, posture yourself to grab a hold of what God is saying to you personally. I did this for you. Make it a covenant with you. So what's your part of the covenant? Just to hang out and watch God do whatever he's going to do? Doesn't work that way, does it? No, he died for you, and what he's asking is that you would give to him the only thing that you have. What else do you got to give? He don't want your stuff, just to say. He's got enough stuff. Stuff isn't going to matter. Money is not going to matter, right? That doesn't matter to God. It matters your positioning, like whatever he asks you to do, he wants you to do, right? So when you come to a place of posturing yourself before the Lord, it says, Lord, I'm all in. It's not about me here. It's about you. You made a covenant with me. And I recognize that and I partner with it. I partner with it and say yes to your covenant with me, and I'm going to do everything that I can to fulfill your plan in my life. Not my plan for my life, but your plan for my life. And things get dicey when you start doing that. I mean, because it isn't easy in the sense of our mind, our flesh, it's not easy, but in the spirit, it's great. But here's the deal. If you can't capture the Spirit of God in your relationship with God in the midst of this walk on planet Earth, then it's going to be a real difficult thing because you're caught between two worlds, right? You're running in this establishment between doing God's thing and doing your thing and not understanding. So you do your own thing. Things come apart. You come back to God. You posture yourself again and you say, okay, God, I'm back. I'm sorry. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God never intended for our walk to be like that, like this. He wants us to understand the covenant relationship that he did for you and that you would partner with him and then be obedient. And so as we look at this, oh, wow. Here's what I want you to do. I want you everybody to stand up. Stand up. Now, if you heard this word, if you've heard these words, I want you to be able to receive it now. All right, you've heard it. You kind of captured the thought of it. Now I want you to receive it. I want you to posture yourself in a position to receive it. Now, it's just like this. This is a humble position. And I know for raising my hands before the Lord, that's a humble thing for us. And it feels weird, doesn't it? Does it feel weird to you? Does it feel okay to you to humble yourself in a position before the Lord? Right? To me, this is the best position to be in before the Lord. I mean, as we worship him, as we receive him, as we say, Lord, now I want you to just close your eyes and I want you to ask him, God, I understand this covenant relationship you've said you have with me. Now, Lord, I want the strength to be able to do my part. And so I posture myself in a position to receive, God, the word that you're giving me today. And that is that you have made a relationship with me, and God, I receive that. I want you to be able to speak to me. I want to be able to hear you clearly, oh God, so that I can do the things that you ask me to do. Help me to hear. Open my ears, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. So now that we've received, we're open to the idea and understanding of God's plan and our positioning ourselves in a place that we can receive. And Abraham did just that. He got on his face, but we didn't have enough room for that. And some of us can't get back up once we get down. So Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Abraham. Did some study on this. It's interesting. They talked about this. The fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is H. The fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is H, right? And it means, hey. Okay, everybody say that with me. Hey.
Hey.
What does that do? Get your attention, right? Get your attention. It's the H. It's the hey. It means, basically, if you follow that root word out, it means a window. And God's looking into your life, a window, and you're allowing him to. Opening the window of him to look into your life. It's the hey. It's a positioning of hey. And here's what happened. The fifth letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, is H. And God said, but your name shall be Abraham. What letter is it in the positioning of his name? The fifth. Okay? The H is the fifth letter in his name. What he did was he opened up his name and his positioning of name to bring in the understanding, the window of understanding to receive the blessing that who he is, that God has created him for. It's exactly what you and I need to do before the Lord. Right? And it was up to him to receive that. And he changed his name all through the scripture. His name was changed. Right? His whole atmosphere of life changed right here because God changed it and said, I'm going to put the hey, the H, the everybody knows what the H sounds like, right? Breathing breath into his life. The God breathed. It's exactly what he does to you and me. Breathes into you the breath of understanding, the breath of life, because your life no longer is about you. It's about him. So the hey, you need to receive the hey, right? Well, every time you hear the word hey, you should go, I'm all in, right? What? God says hey, you go what? So the hey, the fifth letter, Abraham, the fifth letter is H, Abraham, Abraham. He breathed on him. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I believe that you, from this day forward, as you've listened to this message, if you receive it and understand it and get it, then God's going to pour a blessing on you guys like this year you have never seen before. And I'm not talking about just physical blessing, but I'm talking about huge spiritual blessings. Why? Because as you position yourself for this breathing of God into your life, you're going to be able to see. You'll have spiritual eyes to see. It opens up your understanding. And so he's said, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be blessed. You will be blessed. But you have to receive it. You have to understand who you are in Christ. and position yourself. Well, what does that mean? As we stopped and raised our hands and positioned ourselves before the Lord, it's a humbling position before God to recognize the fact that he is God and you are not. You're his humble servant. Or I choose to humble myself and whatever it is. Like in worship, if you just listen to the music and the words on the page, right? And that's a song service. That's not a worship service. And a huge percent of us start there. We start by listening to songs and hearing the songs. But once we learn the songs, then you can position yourself to the meaning of the words, right? And then it becomes between you and God, and it's not about singing a song, right? And cool, let's keep the beat. Right? This is about your positioning your heart before the Lord in worship. See, it's a whole different thing then. Now you're going to feel the presence of God because you've positioned yourself to. If you don't position yourself to, it's a song. And that's all cool, right? It's good to sing a song, but when you get off in your world with God and everything else just goes strangely dim in the light of God's love, you're worshiping him because he is God and he's king. And you long to do that. I find myself in my office a lot of times. I'm there. I'm just worshiping God. And all it is just a song I might be singing and find myself lost in worship before the God, my king. So here it is. He's given him this blessing, and I will establish my covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. We are Abraham's descendants through the blood of Jesus, right? We accepted what he did on the cross, which grafts us in. We are Gentiles that are grafted in because of what Jesus did on the cross, and we recognize that. So therefore, we're part of this covenant. So throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. We are that, just that. For I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting position, and I will be their God. God said, Father, to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. How do we keep God's covenant? How do we do that? It's a heart condition for obedience to God and the hey position in the I understand you are God. You have breathed onto me the Spirit of God, and I'm going to walk in that. We just did it this morning. We understand the covenant. We partner with the covenant. That's how these descendants are through the years receiving that. Why did we receive that? Because of what happened there. It's been passed down to generation to generation to generation right on to us. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Now, this is an Old Testament thing that God started for his people. And all the Israelites and the Hebrews who followed Abraham was circumcised, right? Because it was a circumcision of the flesh. Today, what is it? It's a circumcision of the heart. And it was very clear in the New Testament, after Jesus, this was the covenant, that we keep the covenant by the circumcision of the heart. We cut off the fleshly desires of our life and give it to the Lord as an offering and say, Lord, use me. And so what happened then, now let me ask you, if God asks you, if, once you've made this covenant with God and you received what he has for you, now he's saying, I want you to go do something like that. And he asked him, not only for you, do I want you to cut the foreskin off of your private area, right, for a covenant positioning, but I want you and everybody around you, all the males in this tribe, your children or your child, which was at that time, Sarah didn't have Isaac. So Ishmael was there too, and he was like in his teens. So we'll go on to see that in a minute. But God asks something of you in this covenant relationship, right? You partner with him. You make this decision to follow Christ, right? And you take up your cross daily and follow him. So it's not about the the cutting of the flesh. It's now about the circumcision of the heart. Yes, Lord, I would follow you. That means that all the nature, the sin nature, and the what you want to do, you know, is, and if God says, look, I want you girls to go and do Bible study instead of watching the game. Now, that may not mean anything to you girls, but to us guys, that would be a cutting of the flesh. Thank God for DVR. And maybe some of you girls, I don't know, right? Yeah, Joey wants to watch the game, but she's going to go and do it because it's the covenant relationship that, hey, I'd rather be with God than something of the world. Now, that one might have been a stupid example. I don't know. But I know that in my mind, that would have been a hard, difficult decision to go, oh, man, I have to miss the game. And I've done it before. Lots and lots and lots of times, there were things I wanted to do. When my son wanted to go hunting, right, and he wanted to hunt with me when he was growing up, and I couldn't because the weekends were filled with God stuff, right? And he goes, Dad, you're putting the church before me? No, son, I'm putting God before you, as well as I should, right? And he had a hard time understanding that because we used to hunt before I really gave my life completely to the Lord and I was all in. I was hearing God, but I wasn't obedient to God. So hunting was like way up here, like work and hunting. That's what we did. And so I created me a little monster. He loves to hunt. I didn't even know what I was doing. But the reality is, whose fault is that? Right? I taught that to him, and that was our fun. That's what we did, and it became an idol instead of, so I had to reposition myself to cutting of the my will and doing what God wanted me to do. And it wasn't easy. And you guys have the same thing in your life. You do. You have it. Whether you want to admit it or not, there's things in your life you will put before God every stinking time. Every time. Why? Because it's what I do. It's what I do. It's my thing. Now, why would God take that away from you? Why would he take it away from me? It's not about the thing. It's about where your heart is. What are you putting first? And if you're okay with that and God's okay with that, I'm good with it. I'm not the judge. I'm just saying, hey, if God's speaking to you, then by gollies, you need to pay attention to it. Because if you don't do that, when will you do it? When is it that you're going to say, I get this relationship with you, Lord, and you're asking me to give you all of me. And it's not about me anymore. It's about you. And so Abraham got that. Because when God said to do something, we'll read on. And this is why Abraham is who he is. And it's why we still see him today as the man. You know, he's like, whoa, dude, this guy, he's all in. Anyway, I will establish my covenant between me and you in verse 7, your descendants after you throughout generations for everlasting covenant to be God and you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land that you sojourning, all of the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said, father to Abraham, now as for you, further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generation, a servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Who is cut off from God's people now? Those who don't accept Christ as their Savior. just simple. Sorry, I didn't write the book. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior are in the covenant relationship. We just went through that. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, sorry, you're not in. That may sound harsh, but it's just a fact. If you want an everlasting covenant and the blessings of the Lord for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and forever is a long, long, long time, you must understand the principles of God. And that is, Jesus sent his Son to die on the cross for you and me. And if we can't recognize that and grab a hold of that and repent for our sins and walk a different path with him leading us, then you're not in. You're cut off. The blessing is not yours. Nor will it ever be until you do it, until you get that, right? Then you'll start to see. And so, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Okay, count the letters. The fifth letter of her name is what? H. He blew into her life as well. Changed her name, changed everything. The H, the hay, the window, the understanding, the reality of God, his presence, and his blessing. You want to be blessed today, guys? Man, I do. Capture the reality of God and who he is. Your blessing is just right a step away. Your blessing is right in front of you. Just receive it. It's free. And the walking in obedience to God is just a step away. What fleshly thing do you have to cut off? Come on. What fleshly thing do you have to cut off to receive the blessing? To be a descendant of God forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's not a works thing. It's a receiving what Jesus did on the cross, right? From there, your eyes are open to what the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step is for eternity, right? When you get to heaven, what do you think God's going to be doing? Free for all. Everybody gets to do whatever you want. Now, he has a plan, a big plan, and you are going to like it. And it's going to be right in your gifting, just how he created you, because he created you not for just this life, but for an eternal life. And so the gifts that God's given you, the gifts that he's given you right here, right now, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with the gift that God gave you? Are you doing things for the Lord? Some of you weren't, right? In the past, you weren't, but you're starting to get the understanding of who you are in Christ and what is your gift and how you can make that work for you and others in this sphere that you live in this day and this time, right? So, Don, you're on the board now, right? You were voted in to our city council, right? I read something else too. Are you our mayor?
Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations. Thank you for that.
Congratulations.
Listen, Don's our new mayor. You guys all know him now. That's a huge position. Yeah. So here's the deal. Don's been voted in by the people to be our, not only a council member, but he's our mayor. Yeah. And so what does that mean to him? Well, that's a position that God has given him, right? We helped get him get there, but God was the one that brought him there. Totally convinced of that for this community in this city for this time right now. So the decisions that are made in the city council, I mean, that's huge. He better be listening to the Lord. That's all I can say. Yeah, that's right. And so in the position that God's given him, the opening of understanding for him to be in this position is by God. And if he listens to God, the whole town will be blessed by the decisions that God allows him to see and implement. Isn't that cool? And he uses everybody in the capacity and the giftings that you have. Now, I'm sure that Don spent a lifetime learning different things along the way to get into this position that God's called him to, as you and I, right? Our giftings come through a lifetime of service and understanding who God is. And then when it comes, and a lot of people don't understand that. They go into a position and say, well, I'm all in, and I got the answers, and follow me. I don't think so. Right? I don't want to follow somebody that's just doing it because they think they got the answers. I want to follow somebody because they're following God. That's who I follow. Right? And so as a godly person, you all as godly people are hearing and seeing the gifts that God's given you. Don't set on your gift, because the gifts that God's given you is for eternity. It's not just for now. It's forever and ever and ever. And so while you're here, develop your gift and use it with all your heart. Do the best you can with what gifts God's given you. Right? That's one example. Dave cuts trees. He cuts trees for a living. But any time in town when somebody needs a tree cut, who do people call? Why? Because he's gifted. I've seen him put trees in places. I can't even imagine. I'd probably crash something. So whatever gift you have, and there are many, there are many. And as you step up into the gift that God's given you to use for God, as a blessing, not to make gobs of money, but a blessing from you to them, because God's given you the gift that you can do it and do it with joy, right? And you do it with all your heart, you will be blessed every time. And so these spiritual blessings are amazing from the Lord. Am I on 18? 17. 16, I will bless her. Oh, right. So Sarah, God just changed her name to Sarah, put the H in the fifth letter, the H, the hey, to her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face. Actually, kings of people, if you look at the lineage, you'll find out that David, King David, came from that lineage. Jesus came from that lineage, right? On the father's side. Well, actually on the mother's side as well. So then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to his heart, will a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Do you trust God? How many of you guys are old? You think God's done yet? He's not done yet. There's no retirement in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry, guys. She was 100 years old, and will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear children? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after, and his descendants after him. Okay. Just for an understanding's sake, the covenant was made with Isaac, not Ishmael. Okay. Ishmael's descendants are who? Okay. So God said that the descendants of Isaac would carry the blessing, not the descendant of Ishmael. So Ishmael and those guys are saying just the opposite. They said, we were the firstborn. We are the chosen. But if they read their Bibles, they see, here's the problem with a covenant relationship. We can put ourselves in a position that we don't belong in, right? We can put ourselves in a position that we do not belong in. You had better understand what God has called you to, right? And if you're in a place that doesn't fit for you and you're not called to it, find out where you are called to, because you're going to find yourself biting the hand that feeds you. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be running from one place to another place to another place. You're going to be mad. You're going to be angry because people are treating you some way, right? The best thing you can do is back up, pray about what God's doing in your life, and see if it's someplace he's called you to, because if it is, then usually you're blaming somebody else for your problem, and the problem is really you, right? Because we can always blame somebody else. So these guys are trying to grab a hold of a position that God never said for them to be in. And they didn't humble themselves before God. They kept right on walking. And they still are today. Through Ishmael? Yeah, we could do that. There's a whole lot going on right now because of that. And actually the covenant relationship is a huge deal. The covenant that God made here and the descendants from here, we're grafted in, and they would be too if they could see Jesus. Right? They would be too. It's not that just because they're Ishmael's generation, then they grabbed a hold of something that they shouldn't have, and they're on this tangent outside over here. There's many of them that are getting it. Right, that are accepting Christ as their Savior, and they're moving in and they're grafted in as well. So it isn't about the lineage, it's about Jesus, right? Because these people that are descendants from Ishmael, there's people that are descendants from Ishmael that are in, right? They're in. Because why? Because they get it. They see that the covenant was through who the covenant was through, and the descendant came through Jesus. Right, and so Jesus died on the cross for our sins as our Savior. And if they get that, they come right out of that into here. So, but it's interesting today what's going on. There's many, many of those folks getting it. Right now, actually, there's a huge amount of people. A million a year. That's amazing to me. And so as time goes on, see, God didn't say it's through that we're here, right? If it was just through bloodline and conditions, we wouldn't have made it, right? We'd have been on the outside. But God opened the window for Gentiles and any heathen dog that wanted to grab a hold of it and clean his life up. See, that's why it's not about the foreskin anymore, right? That's where it started. But because of Jesus, it became a heart condition. So we circumcise the heart, and we do that, right? God helps us, but we're the ones who cut the foreskin off. They did. God didn't do that. They did it. Who cut the sacrifice in two? Abraham did it. God went through and made the covenant. He did his part, but we got to do our part. We've got to do the cutting of we got to sacrifice something in our life to get things right. If there's intentional sin in your life, listen, if there's intentional sin in your life, you got to do something about it. You can't just say, well, God will cover me and everything's good. No, he will not. He wants you to recognize that it's sin and you have to cut that off. And how do you do that? Well, you confess it, right? Anyone who confesses their sin before the Father, right? He is forgiven. John talks about it. But you have to do it. And so you confess that, right? And I'm going off on a little area, but I'll come back. But if you confess your sin before the Father, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So you're forgiven. Here's the thing, though. When you know you're forgiven, it's the circumcision of the flesh. You have to cut that off. And throw it away, right? So how do you stay in that covenant relationship? How do you do that? You get your face in the Word. You position yourself physically position yourself before God as a servant to Him, and you get busy doing things God wants you to do, and stop doing the things that the world's doing. If you're going out to the bars, if you're partying, if you're drinking, if you're doing drugs, if you're watching pornography, if you're lying, if you're stealing, if you're talking about people in a bad way, there's a multitude of things that the enemy grabs a hold of, and we're partner with the world by getting caught up in that, right? So that has to get cut off. You have to stop it, right? You have to position yourself before the Lord for the blessing. How is God going to bless you if you're in intentional sin? And you know it. Right? If you know that your eyes are on things they don't belong on, and your mind is going on things that this fantasy life, I mean, the world loves to get people in fantasy life. Right? It isn't real, but it gratifies the flesh, makes you feel better. for a season. But the reality is that sin, if it's fulfilled, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy you. And his plan is to keep you out of the covenant relationship with God. And so the circumcision of the heart comes to a place where we understand that we fall short of the glory of God and we need a Savior. We need him. So if we know that, how do we stay in relationship with him? Prayer, fasting, if you need to. You need to, trust me. Prayer, fasting, relationship with God, fellowship with believers, church on Sunday and Wednesday. Why do we do church on Sundays and Wednesdays? Because we get fresh. You get to hear something from the Lord and it rejuvenates your walk so that you don't fall away, right? So you don't gratify the things of the flesh. You don't start doing those things. And pretty quick, honestly, guys, we'll talk ourselves right into being okay with bad things. Unless we're in fellowship with God, God's the one that reveals to us that it's not right. And you need to change it. And when he does that, then by gollies, we better do something with it. We can't just keep living that way and expect God's blessing. Do you want God's blessing? More than anything, I want God's blessing. Not only for myself, but for the church. For God's people, for you. And so, as the leader of the church, I'm praying for you. Joey and I pray for you guys all the time. For those people that have left this church, we pray for them still. We don't forget them. We still send cards to them. We still love them. Go down the road, I see them on the road, I wave. Some of them don't see me. But I still wave. And all we want is the best for you. Right? We've tried to teach the best thing for you, but what happens in this teaching of relationship between you and God is that you really don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear that you got a bitter spirit. You don't want to hear that you have unforgiveness. You don't want to hear that you got sin in your life at all. I'm good. Yeah, in every way. And you can't tell me that I'm not. And when you start feeling like you're okay with holding bitterness or unforgiveness against someone, what does the Bible say? You cannot be forgiven unless you forgive. That's pretty straightforward. That's big stuff. I don't want to walk in that kind of behavior, right? But I have to have a heart condition to receive that. Because if my eyes aren't open, then I'm not going to humble myself and ask for forgiveness, right? So you have to humble yourself. And in a humble position, that's why Abraham was on his face before God. A humble position. And raising our hands before God's another one. I remember when I first, the Lord was prompting me to do that in worship. And I was like this. Started right here. And I was okay with that, you know. And then he says, that you need more. You need to give up more. And so I got here. I was finally okay with that. And it finally got here. Now it's like, okay, I'm good. I'm not holding nothing back. Right? And that's just between me and the Lord. I mean, I'm not saying raising your hands makes any difference to you, but it did to me. It did to me because it was a surrender process. I surrender. I don't care who's looking. I want to worship you as my king, and I don't care. Right? It's not about me. It's about you. It's about me humbling myself and positioning myself to show you are God, and I receive whatever you have for me, whatever that is, good, bad, or indifferent. And then your eyes will open up to see truth, and truth sets you free, right? When God starts to speak to you, like he did me, and he says, Dave, you have a spirit of fear. I don't have a spirit of fear. What do you mean, Lord? What does that mean? You're afraid to fail. No, I am. And I had to process that whole thing. And I realized I was locked down bad with this spirit that held me in this position of, I cannot fail, whatever it takes. Just, I'd work myself to death just to prove that I could do it or that I wasn't going to fail. And so I had to work through that whole thing and realize that, okay, God, what does that mean to me? Well, you're going to have to let go of it all of it, everything. I want it all gone. Everything that you've built and created, that has to go. I have to break you down to nothing to build you back up. Everything has to go. You have to reposition yourself, and I will build you the way I want you. How many of you are ready for that? Just break you down to the bottom and rebuild you back up the way he wants you. And that, let me say, that's a whole process of life that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Wasn't fun, but it was the best thing in the world for me because it taught me how to surrender to God. And so that's what we're looking at here is the surrender. So,
how many times do you have to go through that in your lifetime?
Oh, I'm still probably going through some of it.
While breaking down to nothing and then building back up.
Well, not to nothing. God and you positioning yourself before the Lord and hearing what he says. So whatever he's telling you, that's what you do. You submit to whatever God says. Not what man says, what God's saying to you. All right? So this is the relationship between you and God. If God says it has to go, well, who cares what everybody else says? Right? Then it must go. Right? So it's a positioning to hear God and you being obedient to the Lord. So it's not about a government or people. It's about your relationship with Father. So, and Abraham said to God in verse 18. Okay, I'll back up to 19. But God said, now, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son and shall call his name Isaac and will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. So Abraham is like, he's hearing it. At first, he thought it was a little bit funny, you know, and then God kept going and telling him, no, this is what's going to happen, and she's going to have him next year. When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with the money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day God had said to him. So I want to pause there for a second, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but I want you to get your head wrapped around this. If God says he wants you to do something, you can't be disobedient with waiting, because waiting till tomorrow is disobedient, right? If God's speaking to you about something in your heart right now, you better deal with it the same day that he speaks to you about it. Because if you wait till tomorrow, it's going to go away. All the opportunity will leave you. So think about that. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants and were born to his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael, his son, was 13. Can you imagine being a teenager and your dad saying, come here, boy. 13 years old when his son circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael, his son. All the men of his household who were born in the house and bought with money from the foreigner were circumcised with him. The foreigner as well was brought into the covenant, right? And Abraham heard God. He heard him. He heard him by the change of the name, the H. He breathed into him obedience. He breathed into him understanding. And he was obedient to do it. And now I think of this as being an interesting passage of scripture because we look at the Old Testament and we go, well, that was for them. But it is for us. And I could bring you to the New Testament. Well, I did. I shared with you the New Testament understanding of circumcision, right? And so we live in the covenant relationship of God. And I'll take you back one more time so that you get this. In the verses previous, that God was speaking to us individually. As for me, this is God speaking, behold, my covenant is with you. This is God speaking to you. And so this covenant relationship that God has given us has to be responded to. You can't just leave it dead. You can't leave it alone. We all heard the word of the Lord today. My covenant relationship, my covenant is made with you. And I proved it through Jesus and the covenant that he did. He fulfilled the covenant, right? And his bloodline through David into Jesus. Jesus went on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. The covenant is still alive today through that for us. We are descendants of Abraham. We're grafted in, the Bible says. It's like a tree branch, an orange grafted into an apple tree, or a different species of apple tree grown into an apple tree. We are grafted in. We're part of this covenant relationship. So the circumcision of the heart, we bring it to this place. Hallelujah. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, first of all. And we have to humble ourselves before God. And we have to bring it to a place that is real between us. Right? This is a relationship between you and God, me and God. And when I heard this message and I seen the reality of how he put it together in the fifth letter of the name, and how that all fits in the Hebrew language and what it all meant, it made even more sense to me. Because God's breathing into your heart right now. He's changing your name spiritually. Right? What David looked like in the past, Dave will fulfill in the future. What Josephine's life was like in the past, Joey will fulfill in the future. Put your name there. I don't know whatever changes God's doing in your life, but whatever you've done in the past, God's going to change that into a covenant relationship between you and him for the future. And I see it. Guys, I got eyes to see it. I don't know. I wish you could see what I see. Sometimes I wish you could, and then other times I wish you couldn't. But the main thing is I wish you could see the good things I see. Let's put it that way, right? Because I see potential in you that's phenomenal. Huge potential in you and your relationship with God and what God can do with you. All you got to do is position yourself. All you got to do is listen and obey, right? Whatever he says. The future is amazing, what the future is going to look like with you following God with all your heart. All in. Everything in. I mean, relationship covenant with God changes everything. Because you no longer can do what you did. You no longer can do what you used to do. It will feel wrong to you. You can't walk into those places you used to be able to walk into. You can't watch things that you used to watch. You can't listen to gossip and stuff anymore. You can't listen to it. You go, wait a minute, maybe we should talk to them about that. Everything changes because you're able to see through God's eyes and what he's pleased with and what he's not. And that's where your heart change comes to. And that's what I want to give opportunity for today. Alan, if you can find some music somewhere. And those of you who are on the prayer team, I'd like for you to come up. And here's what I would like for you guys to do. And this is your opportunity to receive the covenant relationship with God. Now, it's already done, okay? It's already done. You have to grab a hold of that covenant relationship. So whatever it is that God pointed out in the flesh, the circumcision that needs to take place in your life, whatever that is, if you're having difficulty with something and it repeats, if it's anger, if it's whatever, if you're having difficulty with a habit that you did and that you're trying to stop, but yet you still want to gravitate back to that because it calls your name, right? That covenant relationship will strengthen you to continue to walk it out, right? And it's by your partnering with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, what does it say? You will receive power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you can be his witness, so that you can fulfill the truth of God in you, right? So that you don't gratify the things of the flesh. You cut that off. You're spiritually cutting off those things that would drag you down and that would keep you away from the blessing. I don't know about you, but I want all the blessing God has for me, not only in the future, but now, right now. Spiritual blessings heap upon me, Lord. I receive. I receive it. I choose to receive it because I know you made a covenant with me, Lord. You said, I made this covenant with you. The only one that's going to keep me outside the covenant relationship is me. And the only one that's going to keep you outside that covenant relationship and the blessing is you. Because God's given it to you. It's yours. It's all yours. You just got to keep walking. Keep walking. Stay ahead. I took the boys out for a hike. I like to do that. We go on adventures. We call them adventures. So me and the grand boys, we took a hike. Mason, he was behind me. Tanner, he always wants to get out in front. And he's constantly in the way. You know? Walking in pretty because he's tying his shoes or kicking something, and we're walking up this trail, right? And so I booted him in the butt. You know, get going. Poof, he falls down. And then he's mad. He's angry. He's got his stick and he's telling his joke and this little tissy fit. Listen, when God boots you in the butt, you need to stop having a tissy fit, right? You need to get behind him and start following him because he'll lead you. Don't get ahead of him and get in the way. And when he boots you, don't you get an attitude. Some of you guys are thinking about having an attitude right now. Come on. Dave's doing this again. Bringing this thing up about this covenant relationship and I have to go up there and pray. Yeah. Or I have to make myself do something I don't want to do. That's really what it's all about. That's what Paul said. I buffet my body. Make it do what it doesn't want to do. That's what you got to do. You have to learn this behavior of making. That's what fasting is for. How many of you guys are good at fasting? Come on, it's easy, sneezy. Really? I don't know. It's not easy for me. I like to eat. But the reason for that is that God's teaching us how to make ourselves behave, make ourselves spiritually do what the body doesn't want to do. Soul, mind, will, and emotions. He said, walk in the Spirit. If the Spirit's saying, body, soul, you do what I tell you to do. Right? That helps us understand the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is speaking to us, we respond. So where are you? Where are you sitting? You're just going to sit there and go, okay, I'm not going to go up there. Not going to do it because I don't have to. And you can't make me. All right, but who loses in that? So it's up to you. You guys can come up and be set free and grab the covenant relationship before God and say, hey, I need more of you, God. And you do that by acknowledging the fact that you need him. And so that's what this is about. This isn't about anything except for you connecting with God, you know, and just surrendering to the Lord. Because we want to partner with you, and God wants to partner with you. Go ahead.
I just need to be more open with people like I was before Buck passed.
Oh.
It's hard for me.
Yeah. We should have stopped.